Hey, buddy.
Is that how we start this show?
I don't ever remember.
We started with the thing that's at the top of the document, don't we?
Ah, yes. Welcome to Backstage, where Mike and I talk about what's going on behind the scenes at Relay FM and share our knowledge to help you start your very own podcast. This week, we're talking about how to start an episode.
Yeah, I mean, there is something funny about the fact that for this episode, there will be a lot of new listeners to Backstage for a reason we'll get to in a minute. And this was the one where you forgot how to do it.
Monthly shows are hard.
They are.
It's
actually
behind the scenes. We're, you know, okay. Casual.
We could talk about that at some point, how like the
casual casting,
the schedule that you choose can change how easy or hard the show is to make. Mm-hmm. And when you're in a more frequent cadence, you get into more of a rhythm. But with monthly shows or less frequent shows in general, you'd kind of lose the flow a little bit easier, which is an interesting part. But anyway, let's start with what is going on here at Relay FM. So you've probably noticed that we have enabled some new functionalities for our shows, where we have enabled the ability for any Relay FM show to create their own feed as part of the membership. If you support them directly, you can end up with bonus content. And we have a small selection of shows doing that right now, with a few more to come in the future. This is something that's going to slowly roll out. I doubt every Relay FM show will have a membership feed, but we've left this decision up to the hosts of the shows themselves. So you'll probably see some stuff on some of your favorite shows in the future. But it's really great because now it allows us to expand the membership out a little bit more and provides a different value exchange. So I like to think of it that in some instances, it's become less of just like, hey, I want to support this show, to, hey, I want the content they're going to give me. And I like that. That feels like a sustainable thing going forward. So thank you to everybody who has become a new member or added new shows, specific feeds into their overall membership. And I mean, we have many, many members now who are paying multiple monthly or annual memberships for their favorite shows. And that's really fantastic. So thank you for doing that.
This month, we are going to talk about equipment. You know, the stuff you're talking to turn words into a podcast. Microphones, headphones, interfaces, a whole bunch of stuff. And as always, a bunch of these questions came from listeners, which we always appreciate. We always put a call out on Twitter and Discord before we record one of these, so you can chime in, because it's great. We're here to help everyone out. So, Mike, what do you have for me? Hit me up with some equipment questions.
I actually have one of my own, because I actually couldn't find anybody asking this specific question, but it felt important for this episode. What is the very best starting gear for someone?
So I would point people to a blog post by our friend Jason Snell way back in 2016. The microphone he links is actually no longer for sale, so we'll have the new version of it listed in the show notes as well. But for a starter microphone, I really like the Audio-Technica ATR-2100. It's this microphone that works over USB or XLR, so we can talk about the difference of that in a second. It has a built-in headphone jack, so you can hear your own voice and audio from the computer, which is really important to be able to hear yourself. In this blog post, Jason links to some other stuff, like get a stand, get a windscreen. And I think this is totally the way to start. You know, a lot of people think it's like the Blue Yeti or something else. I think this microphone runs circles around basically any other starter microphone that I've used. In fact, I have one of these on the occasion that I travel and I don't expect to record, but sometimes I may have to jump in on something. This is what I take, because it's for the money. Specifically, it's incredible.
They have a USB-C version now too, right?
Yes, that's what I'm going to have linked in the show notes. Jason's post links to like this mini USB version, but the USB-C version is a little bit newer, and that's what's for sale on Amazon now. So that'll be in the show notes in your podcast player.
I haven't used one of these, but I have always heard great things about it. The interesting thing to me these days is there's lots and lots of new microphones popping up because of Twitch streaming. So yeah. The market for these types of products is increasing. Like, I know that you mentioned Blue, and we all used the Blue Yeti back in the day. They have new products now for this stuff. I think Razer have a new microphone out. Like, that this world is heating up again. Like, I actually want to try out some of these products at some point in the future. I think Elgato just put out a microphone, which is apparently pretty decent. Like, it's definitely heating up, but a lot of these microphones, they are considered to be used for circumstances that aren't necessarily podcasting. Like, they can be used for podcasting, but they may have different features. So, like, one of the things that the Blue Yeti has is it super cardioid, the Blue Yeti? Like, it has a bunch of different microphones inside it, so you can change the settings in it, so in theory can record two people at once and stuff like that, which is nice to have, but ultimately can make the overall, like, one person experience a little worse. Like, it's not necessarily what it's built for, but there's lots of options. But frankly, the ATR 2100 or ATR 2100X, I think, is the USB-C one.
Yeah, that's the USB-C version. Yeah,
that is considered to be a great microphone by everybody whose ears I trust to tell me the microphones are good. So this is a really great start. And that post that you mentioned that Jason links to, this is effectively all of the gear that you want for less than $100, which is pretty great as a place to start. But if you don't have any money, any like set of wired iPhone headphones will do, right? Like, if you just want to start, you want to see if podcasting's for you, you just want to give it a go with a buddy, which is what we're talking about on the show all the time, and you don't want to spend any money, that's fine. Just use whatever headset you have. Use your earpods, your AirPods. They'll all work, so you at least can hear each other. My first podcast, I used like a Logitech headset microphone for a few episodes just to make sure that it was something that I wanted to do. But these days, to be honest, like, it's becoming, with lots of people working from home, having a half decent microphone for your Zoom calls and stuff, like, that's as useful too. You never know, you might be able to convince your employer to pay for this microphone if you ask nicely enough. But like, that, you know, there's lots of these products around there now, but this is a great one to start. I did want to ask, if you've gone for the microphone and you've got the pop shield and you've got a little stand for it and all that stuff, what do you think should be somebody's first upgrade?
A pair of over-ear headphones. So if you use like the, you know, ear pods or, you know, in-ear little things that came with your phone, they leak sound pretty badly. And the trick is to keep the volume down as quiet as possible, because what you don't want is your microphone to pick up what's coming through your headphones, because then you get this loop effect and it's effectively impossible to clean up easily in audio and it sounds really bad. It's called bleed. And over-ear headphones, because they seal around your ear and aren't open, they do a much better job at preventing this. They're not perfect, right? If you crank the volume, you're still going to get bleed, but if you turn it down and you have that seal, it'll really isolate it.
Yeah, which is a recommendation that I will give. Always have your volume at the very lowest you can and still hear it of the person that you're talking to, because audio bleed is so hard to remove. It's basically impossible to remove cleanly, and you'll always end up with a little bit of it if you've got the headphones too loud. Fuzan asks, is a high-end USB microphone acceptable, or do I absolutely need something like an XLR and an audio interface?
USB is totally fine. I mean, that Audio-Technica one, USB-C is awesome because it powers it. It's really easy. You don't have these big bulky cables. What XLR gives you, and XLR is like an instrument cable. So if you look at the end of it, it's got three prongs. It's about, the connectors are about the diameter of maybe a US nickel or something. They're not huge, but definitely bulkier than USB-C. What XLR gives you is it gives you options. So you can have something like an audio interface where you can bring in multiple microphones or a microphone and an instrument into a computer. The Mac in particular, and I think Windows as well, really doesn't handle multiple USB audio inputs very well. So if you have three USB microphones, plugging them into the same computer is going to be difficult, if not impossible. XLR, though, you could run them through a single interface and you can have more flexibility there. You can also do things like mute switches. So for me, I have my microphone running into a mute switch, running into my interface, running into USB. That means as I talk, I can hit the mute button and you don't hear me anymore. If I cough, it goes away. So it's very helpful. But USB is I use USB for a long, long time because it's so convenient, so easy.
Because when you do get into using XLR-based microphones, you need extra pieces of equipment, right? You'll need some kind of interface. Or, like Stephen says, you get a mute switch, but it's a separate box where some USB microphones may have built-in mute switches on them, right? So, like, you end up with much more flexibility, which is why we use XLR, because you can get, you know, all of the really good microphones, the really good ones, the professional level ones, they're going to use XLR. And then also, as Stephen said, with the boxes that we end up buying, we end up with flexibility. Like, I just record with the one microphone here at home, but if I ever do need to record with two people, the same interface that I use, I can just plug another microphone into it. And that flexibility is really great, and it's something that I wouldn't get very easily, especially wouldn't get in hardware if I was using multiple USB microphones. Fuzan also asks, should they consider a dynamic or condenser microphone?
I knew someone was going to ask this. This is an extremely complicated field of microphones, microphone technology. The extremely high level of this is that condenser microphones are generally better for spoken vocals, but they require something called phantom power. Now, if you're using an XLR microphone, you have to have an interface, and we're going to talk about interfaces in a second. Any decent interface, even the cheap ones, will offer phantom power.
But you got to check. Make sure you check.
But you got to make sure it's there, because condenser microphones need it. Again, it's better for spoken vocals.
Yep.
Has a trade-off, though, of that the background noise can be a little bit more difficult to sort out with a condenser, because it is tuned for listening to quiet things. And so if your air conditioning is humming, it may hear you. It may hear that too. Dynamic, on the other hand, is better for loud sounds. You generally see dynamic microphones in live audio, concerts. If you're microphoning, you know, a drum kit or a guitar amp or something, it does a better job with ignoring background noises, because you need to be much louder for the dynamic microphone to hear you. Does that make sense? So I've got to be louder. It's not going to hear the background stuff as much. But you can plug it into basically anything, because it doesn't need phantom power. Again, most devices, most interfaces have phantom power, which again is just sending, I forget how many volts it is. It's not very much power. Sending power through the XLR cable to the microphone. So I would say for podcasting, I prefer condensers, but you got to make sure your room is quiet. And you can do that by having, you know, hanging blankets up, making sure the windows are closed, the air conditioning's off, that sort of thing. But if you can't manage that, if you know you're recording in a dorm room or something, dynamic may be a little bit better. You just know you're probably going to have to speak a little bit louder, and it won't sound quite as clean as a condenser will.
I want to talk about the phantom power phantom problem.
Okay.
Which is something that everybody goes through the first time, and it's what I've given it this name, where you are not in your typical environment and you're using some other gear, like we use Zoom recorders or whatever, which are really great field recorders that you can plug XLR microphones into. And you plug your microphone in and the microphone doesn't work and you think it's broken, but it's actually just because you forgot to enable phantom power. And you have that like cold sweat moment where you think, I'm in a hotel room in Indiana and I now can't make my microphone work, but it's just because you forgot to enable phantom power. Indiana's not important to that problem, by the way.
Interesting.
But it's just I picked a random place.
Or if you plug it in and it works, but it's extremely quiet.
Yes.
That's another sign that you need to check the phantom power. Most of the time it's a little button with a lightning bolt or something. I definitely recommend it if you buy any of this equipment, like read the manuals that come with it, because it can be very helpful.
Max wants to know, what is the best piece of equipment besides the computer that makes post-production easier for you?
I mean, I would say the microphone.
That doesn't count. But that doesn't count, because that's all the production, right?
I would say, honestly, having a boom arm or a shock mount. So if you type or you hit the desk, you don't get a lot of sound in the recording. If you just have... And it's a great way to start. You just have to be careful. If you have your microphone like a little tripod on your desk and you hit the desk, that sound is going to move its way into the microphone and into your recording. Just like if you put your ear down against your desk and you tap on the other side of it, you hear it through the surface. A boom arm and a shock mount help isolate the microphone from those outside vibrations. It can make the audio just that little bit cleaner.
Some people use like compressors and stuff on audio, but neither me or Steven do this or recommend this. And so this can, in some instances, help your post-production because you can do some mixing, you can do some EQing in hardware, like, and then it's just in the recording. But I think that that kind of stuff is risky because you're messing with what will be recorded, and anything you do, you can't undo if you're you're kind of running the microphones through a physical compressor. When all of this stuff is typically available in some regard in software. So that's the way that we both do it if we ever do anything. I don't recommend this type of thing for hardware.
Agreed. I do run compressors, but I do it all in Logic. I just don't think that having a bunch of hardware rigs really makes sense for podcasting. If you're doing music, like you're, you know, sure. But what we're doing, I want the audio as pristine as possible. So if I need a compressor or something, I can just do it in Logic, so it's non-destructive.
Rob asks, what equipment did you start with, and at what point in your equipment journey do you think that your audio finally sounded good?
What about you?
So I was using that Logitech headset. I don't even know what it was, right? Like, I just had it at home. Then I moved to a Blue Yeti, which I used for a long time. Then I moved to a Heil PR40. And now I'm on the Neumann KMS-105. Now, don't buy the Neumann KMS-105. Would be my recommendation to all of you. This microphone is incredibly expensive, but I am a professional. This is how I make my living. And the Neumann KMS-105 is the microphone that I think does the best job of any microphone I've ever used of replicating the sound of my own voice. The Heil PR40, I never should have bought that thing. It was okay for me, but I listen back to stuff now and I don't like the way it sounds. There's too much bass in there, which I don't enjoy. But this microphone that I use right now is the first time that I have ever considered the gear to be able to give me what I want, which when I listen to recorded audio, it sounds like me. So a microphone that Steven's probably going to mention in a minute is the Shure Beta, is it 87A or 85A that we use on the road?
87A.
So we use these microphones when we're away, when we're traveling and recording live shows. And I don't like how I sound with them. I feel like there's too much bass. So the microphone, and they're very good, like excellent microphones, but I've just become very picky about my voice sounding accurate. And that's a microphone that I use now that does that. But there's, you know, those Shures are fantastic, but I've just kind of become accustomed to this one.
Sure. For me, I started with a Blue Snowball and then a Blue Yeti. And then I used a Rode Podcaster for a long time. I, like you, kind of feel like it wasn't right for me, but it was a popular microphone in our circle at the time. And it was USB, which was nice. I didn't have to deal with an interface. But when I moved into my studio that I have now, I moved to XLR and I used the Shure Beta 87A, which I really like. I think bang for the buck as in terms of sound quality and ease of use, the 87A is really hard to beat. And you can often find it on sale at places like B&H or Amazon. I will say here as a sidebar, there's a real situation buying microphones like on the gray market that are knockoffs. And so you want to buy it from someplace reputable. Mm-hmm. Like don't buy an 87A off Craigslist because it's probably fake. Mm-hmm. I've had friends fall for this. I was like, what'd you do? Just like buy it for B&H like, and be done with it. Know that you're getting the right thing. As far as an interface, I think a good place that I was in for a long time was with the Tascam US 2x2. The reason I like that is because it doesn't require software drivers. A lot of people like, you know, there's a billion interfaces, right? You can go pick one. I like ones without software where I can just plug it in and macOS handles it, because then I'm not stuck waiting on some vendor to update their software so I can podcast after a software update. So I use the Tascam US 2x2 for a really long time. I now currently use the USB Pre 2. In fact, in the show notes, I'll have my entire gear page on 512 Pixels. Again, not recommending this high-end equipment. This is our company. This is our job. But that's kind of been my progression. And I think the sweet spot for people who are taking it seriously and are making some money, don't go out and buy this stuff on day one. There's no need. But the 87A and the Tascam is a nice combination. There's also a new USB interface called the Evo 4 USB. I have bought one to check it out. I'm going to review it. It isn't here yet, but it looks like a nice alternative to the Tascam and does some clever stuff. So I will review that hopefully on 512 Pixels in the next couple of weeks.
It looks pretty.
It is very, yeah, it's pretty. It's got a big shiny knob on it for gain, and it does some clever auto gain stuff.
Because the Tascam is really ugly.
It is, and it comes with a terrible power brick.
This type of gear, this is like what's happening now that podcasting is becoming cool. All of the gear looks nicer, the new stuff, mm-hmm. rather than like the really weird stuff that we've been using for a long time. Majd asks, do you consider the iPad to be a viable machine for recording and editing podcasts for beginners? This is really tricky to answer because there are a lot of things that it depends on. If you're recording a podcast on your own, you're great, right? Because you can plug in a USB-C microphone, like the one we mentioned earlier. You can record into GarageBand or straight into the wonderful Ferrite application, and you're going to be great. But if you're recording with other people, you're going to need to introduce other equipment. This could be like an iPhone that you're actually having a Skype call over and recording onto the iPad, or do something wild like Jason and Federico do, where they have this string of really expensive equipment to make it work. The iPad is you cannot do on the what you can do on the Mac, which is to have a conversation in Skype or FaceTime or whatever, and also like record a local recording and a recording of the call. Those two things are really important to be able to do, and you can't do this easily on the iPad if at all in some instances. So I think it really depends. If you're just having a show and you're on your own, great. If you have co-hosts or guests, things are going to become a bit more tricky for you.
Yeah, the iPad just doesn't support audio as richly as the Mac or Windows does. It's a shame. Mm-hmm.
Of course, there are workarounds and there are apps and stuff that you can use, but you will run into a problem somewhere. So I would, if you have the ability to have a PC or a Mac, I would probably recommend that as the place that you at least get started with until you get kind of your feet wet with this stuff. Don't add complexity into this when you're just getting started.
Yeah, we'll have a link to Jason Snell's like editing workflow in Ferrite. I've used it to edit. It's fine. My problem is I have big files on my Mac, so why not just edit it on my Mac? And I prefer Logic at this point.
Yeah.
All right. Andy writes, we have a two-person recording setup in the same room, father and son podcasting team. That is super cool, Andy.
Nice.
Is there a simple two-line in recorder so we can do something better than just passing the mic between us? There are a couple things you could do. Again, you're probably going to need to go to XLR. Again, that Audio-Technica has USB-C and XLR, so two birds with one stone with that microphone. And there are several different ways to do this. There are several companies that offer like handheld recorders with XLR inputs, and you can record onto an SD card. This is how we do our live shows, where all the microphones come to a central interface, and I'm recording everything onto an SD card, and every microphone has its own file for editing later. Now, I've linked to one of the show notes. There are a bunch of these. This is the one that I like sort of as an entry price point. Or you can use something like the Tascam or assumedly the Evo 4. Again, I haven't spent time with it yet, to track into something like GarageBand as you record. So if you don't want to deal with an SD card or you just have a regular interface, you can set up, I want channel, you know, XLR input 1 to go to track 1 in GarageBand, XLR input 2 to go to track 2 in GarageBand, or in Logic or Audition or whatever. So you could record onto a Mac or a PC if you're using Windows. You could do that in real time. But either way, XLR is going to be the way to go for you.
So there are a couple of things you need to think about if you are recording multiple people in the same room. It is inevitable that both voices will be picked up on the microphones. So you have to be very careful when you're editing to not get those tracks misaligned, because then you can end up with a weird echo. So it's just worth bearing in mind. It's very possible to do. It makes editing trickier in some ways, but it can also make it easier in other ways. I find that there's less cross-talking when I'm recording in a room with somebody because I can see that they're about to talk, so I don't talk over them.
Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of getting used to that sort of editing.
Steve asks, how do you ensure the best audio quality with guests who don't have professional equipment or training?
I have some easy rules that they should follow. One is, don't use the built-in computer microphone. Even something like AirPods will probably sound better, especially if you're on a laptop, because you're going to hear fan noise through the built-in microphone. You're going to sound far away. The biggest thing is, though, don't let the other person use the computer speakers, because that echo Mike just talked about is way worse over computer speakers because of the delay. It's basically unusable.
If they're recording themselves locally and sending it to you, make sure that you confirm with them that they're not using the computer speakers. Don't just think like, oh, it's like, oh, I can't hear it. Because applications like Skype actually do a pretty good job of like switching the microphone when they can hear that stuff's happening. So you wouldn't necessarily hear yourself, but it may be in the audio recording. So like, if you have a guest, confirm that they are using headphones. It's like very important.
And again, if it's all they have, AirPods or EarPods or something, anything is better than computer speakers, and tell them to leave the volume down as low as possible. If someone doesn't have a microphone, so one thing to back up a second, on Mac Power Users, we have on occasion mailed people a microphone. Sometimes they don't come back. That can obviously get expensive, but if that's something you're really worried about, that is an option. But most people have at least, you know, a wired headphones set that came with their smartphone, AirPods, something like that. The trick is, if it's wired, you know, like the old wired EarPods that come in the box with the iPhone, have them hold the microphone away from their shirt, because you'll get rubbing sounds if they move. And again, very difficult to clean up. So you can do these things. It's not going to sound spectacular, but if you avoid these sort of big issues, at least it'll be listenable.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Like, that stuff can happen very easily, right? Like, you end up like hearing as it's rubbing. Same thing for like people with facial hair and stuff like that. It can be a similar thing. So be careful with that kind of stuff.
Like this, like that.
I can't hear anything.
Let's have a good microphone.
There you go.
And look, I say all these because I've done all these things, right? I have had to fix episodes with all these problems.
Yes,
it's very difficult, and it's just so disheartening because like, it's always the best conversations that get kind of hobbled by an audio mishap every time.
And then that's the most frustrating thing when there's an audio problem, because one, it's very, very difficult to fix. And two, I mean, I know I feel this sometimes, like I feel like this was so avoidable. And final question today is from Sarah, who asks, how often do you change or experiment with your equipment?
What about you?
Oh, I don't ever touch it. If I get things set up, I don't even like to change like the levels of the dials, because there have been times where, I mean, I have a history of having equipment that's way too complicated for me to understand, and I do something that I didn't mean to do and then can never get it to go back the way that I wanted it to go, and then I end up with some problem that I've lived with for years and years or whatever, because, oh, like, I did this thing this one time and now I don't know what I'm doing. Because really with gear, like, I don't really have a great understanding. I'll typically learn what I can learn, do what people that are more knowledgeable tell me to do, set it and forget it. You know, I had this recently where I bought something to run my USB interface through because I was getting a lot of static in the USB interface, and I set it up wrong and thought I'd broken my microphone. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yes, because I put one thing in the wrong way around. Like, so I'm really not very comfortable with making changes once I know that things are good. So it's going to be a very long time, I feel, until I buy anything different for my equipment needs. Like that I'm expecting to be using up my permanent setup.
For me, while I'm knowledgeable about it, I don't change my studio setup. Back you know, a couple years ago, I would break it all down and travel with it. And now I have sort of duplicate stuff, different stuff for traveling. The stuff that's here literally wired into my desk for hashtag cable management, this stuff doesn't change or move. The most recent thing I changed was I changed microphones from the 87A to the Neumann that you mentioned earlier. And I really like it. I'm not sure that the price delta was worth it for my voice, but I really do like it. But that's the only change I've made probably in the last 18 months. I really don't touch this stuff because I need to come out here and turn it on and know that it's going to work 100% of the time. Now, like this Evo 4 I'm going to test out, some other stuff, like those, you know, for travel or for just understanding other equipment, or, you know, sometimes I'll need to do something outside of the office but still in town. Like, I want flexibility. But as far as what's here on my desk, it is here until something breaks.
All right, so that's a run-through of equipment. I hope that that's been of use to all of you out there. On our next episode, we're going to be talking about episode preparation. So how do you prepare for an episode of your show? So I guess we can talk about what the type of stuff, like what we have done today in having our document, having our outline. So if you have any questions about episode preparation, how to think about the flow of an episode, how to write out interview questions, all that kind of stuff, you can tweet with the hashtag AskBackstage, or you can use the command ?AskBackstage anywhere in the Relay FM members Discord, and it will put that into a sheet for us. Or you can send longer questions to backstage@relay.fm. So until next time, when we ask you to come backstage of us, I'm Mike Hurley, and he's Stephen Hackett. Say goodbye, Stephen.
Goodbye, Stephen.